Last week, we heard a sermon by Corey McKenna on the parable of the sower, again from Luke chapter 8. It really looked at the idea of true and false conversion. And yet, I want to connect what we are looking at today to that story, because as I began to prepare this sermon, I began to see some connections that held these things together. In fact, we heard Corey emphasize a phrase during his sermon that came out of the parable of the sower. And the phrase was, "He who has ears, let him hear." And as we heard him speak, and we look at it again briefly by way of introduction, the hearing of God's word is a crucial idea in the parable of the sower. The seed that is thrown along the pathway, we read in verse 12, that those are the ones who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts. We see the seed that's thrown amongst the rocks. Those are people, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but they have no root. Then there were the ones, the seeds that fell among the thorns. Well, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life. And finally, that some of the seed, it falls in the good soil. And who are they? They are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast. And so we see in that parable of the sower the importance of hearing. And not just of hearing, but of hearing well. Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21 is connected to the parable along those same lines. And I'll be honest, I plan out the preaching schedule for maybe a year in advance and break up the text. And sometimes I get to the text for the morning and I think to myself, what was I thinking? Why did I put this story of the lamp and the lampstand in the same sermon as Jesus speaking about his mothers and brothers and who's really part of his family? And yet as I studied it, this idea of hearing is seen in both passages, which also connected to the parable that Jesus had just shared. And so let's look at Luke chapter 8, verses 16 through 21, and in particular, be paying attention to the idea of hearing, of hearing. This passage is printed on the back of the insert in your bulletin. It'll also be on the screens behind me. Starting in verse 16. "No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a jar or puts it under a bed, but puts it on a stand so that those who enter may see the light. For nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. Take care, then, how you hear. For to the one who has, more will be given, and from the one who has not, even what he thinks that he has will be taken away." Then his mother and his brothers came to him, but they could not reach him because of the crowd. And he was told, "Your mother and your brothers are standing outside desiring to see you." But he answered to them, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you and exalt you this morning, because you have revealed yourself to us. We can see and understand in part about you as we look at your wonderful creation, because you have created all things. And on a cold morning that is glorious because the sun is shining, we can stop and appreciate and know something about you because of creation. And so we praise you for that. And we praise you all the more because we have been given very specific revelation of who you are in your word. And we praise you that you are a God who has not left yourself without a testimony or without a witness, but you have revealed yourself to us, and we praise you for that. We confess now that we don't regard your word the way we ought to, as that which reveals to us creatures our Creator. Would you forgive us for all the ways in which we don't regard your word properly? I thank you that you have given us your Spirit to help us understand the word. And I would ask that you would help us this morning. Help us to regard your word rightly this morning, and help us to hear it rightly this morning. We need your help in that. We need your Spirit's help to hear authentically the gospel for the first time. And as we mature and grow as believers, we continually need your Spirit helping us to understand and hear your word. And so we ask for that this morning. Don't allow us to leave this morning unchanged, but conform us to the image of Christ. Pray your Spirit would help me, Father God, to proclaim your truth in a way that's helpful to that end. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the main idea regarding these two episodes, or these two passages that I've put together as one passage for the sake of the sermon, would be this: authentic hearing of Jesus' teaching, or we might say authentic hearing of God's word, and we could even go so far as to say authentic hearing of God's will, entails an appropriate response. Therefore, we must affirm that we are authentic hearers by responding appropriately to Jesus' teaching, to God's word, and to God's will. I think these two episodes that Luke has put one after the other, following the parable of the sower, point to that exactly. I think we'll look at the first couple verses where Jesus uses a proverb, the idea of lighting a lamp, to communicate this truth to his disciples. Now, Jesus uses this proverb of a lamp on a lampstand and not under a jar or under a bed. He uses it at different points in his ministry. And at different points in his ministry, he uses it for different reasons. Matthew 5:15, for example, he uses this proverb, and I think the focus of it is on our witness as disciples of his. But in this case, I think he's pointing to something different. And the way we understand what he's pointing to is by looking at the context of how he uses the proverb in this situation. Jesus presents this image to his disciples. He suggests that the purpose in lighting a lamp is not accomplished by concealing it, but rather by putting it where it can be of most benefit. Thus, nobody puts a lamp under a jar or under their bed. It would defeat the purpose of the lamp. No, a lamp is put on an elevated platform, a lampstand, so that its light can be seen and its light is helpful to people. He says, so that those who enter may see the light. That's the purpose of the lampstand. That's the purpose of not covering the lamp, so that people can see the light and experience the benefits. Now, I take that to see the light to mean to come to the light, to understand the light, and to experience all the benefits that a light in its illuminating power would give. Well, what could those be? It could be safety and security in darkness. It could be the idea of fellowship, which wouldn't happen in a dark room. Work and industry needs light, and perhaps maybe even warmth. But in his use of this proverb and presenting this image to his disciples, he doesn't only speak of the benefits of the light, he gives a warning as well, because the light not only illumines, it also exposes. He says, nothing is hidden that will not be made manifest, nor is anything secret that will not be known and come to light. And so Jesus presents this image, and so we need to figure out what he's trying to communicate here. What is the light? What exactly is it that the light illumines, and what does the light expose? And I think his very next line helps us to understand what he's talking about here. The next thing he says is, take care then how you hear. So So the image of the light on the lampstand and not under the jar and not under the bed, and the fact that it illumines and the fact that it exposes, is in regards to what they are hearing and what we hear. Take care then how you hear, he says. And this is why I say the issue at hand is that of authentic hearing versus counterfeit hearing. And it's about authentic hearers versus counterfeit hearers. Or if we were to look back to the parable of the sower and Corey McKenna's sermon, we would say true hearing and true hearers versus false hearing and false hearers. And in light of Jesus' warning to take care how you hear, we need to understand that the light refers to Jesus and to his teaching. His teaching is the light. We need to authentically hear Jesus and hear his teaching. As we consider this idea of the light, I was reminded of the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. Of course, pointing to the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, but also pointing to his teaching on the kingdom of God and his teaching and sharing of the good news, the gospel. In John's gospel, he says it explicitly. He says, I am the light of the world. Now, authentic hearing of Jesus' teaching is what it means to come to the lamp and experience the benefits of the light. Authentic hearers see the light, come to the light, and reap the benefits of the light. But it's not only illumination that a light brings. There's also this idea of a light having the power to expose things. Jesus' teaching is authoritative and evaluative. It will expose people's hearts. It will expose people's minds. And it will expose people's deeds. And the very light, his very teaching, will demonstrate whether their hearing has been authentic or counterfeit. And thus, whether they themselves are true or false, authentic or counterfeit. How does this actually work? What is an authentic hearer? Maybe you're saying, I don't get the difference between a true hearer and a false hearer, or an authentic hearer and a counterfeit hearer. You either hear or you don't. Well, let me use this analogy to help you. For those of you who are parents, you'll understand this quite well. For those of you who are kids, you will understand it perhaps clearer in the future. But imagine, if you will, a parent asking one of their children or some of their children to clean up the TV room. The TV room's a mess. There's dishes in it. There's wrappers in it. There's banana peels in it. It's a mess. So the parent tells the child, clean up this TV room. And 30 minutes later, parent walks back into the room and the mess is still there. And the parent says, I told you to clean up the TV room. And the child says, yes, I heard you. And the parent says, no, I don't think you did. There is not the type of hearing I wanted to have you experience. The type of hearing I want is the hearing that responds appropriately and cleans the room. So you may have heard me, but you didn't hear me. Clean up the TV room. There is an authentic hearing and there is a counterfeit hearing. What's interesting here is Jesus speaks to both of those people, to those who take care how they hear and hear well, hear authentically. He says, more will be given. More will be given to those. Well, what is that more? We can look throughout the New Testament and learn what the more is that Jesus promises to those who hear. For example, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. Listen to these words of Paul as he describes the more of the gospel that come to those who are authentic hearers. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. What a list that Paul gives us of the more that those who authentically hear Jesus' teaching will receive. In Christ is every spiritual blessing. In Christ we will be holy and blameless before God. Because of Christ we have been adopted into the family of God. He has blessed us in the beloved by giving us redemption through the blood and forgiveness of our trespasses. He lavished these things upon us. We are united to him and we united with all things in him. We have obtained that inheritance. That's the more that Jesus promises. And he says that we will be to the praise of his glory. What a wonderful gift. Me and you, sinners though we are, people who stumble and fall short, we will be for the praise of God's glory. What an incredible more that comes to those who are authentic hearers. And of course, we've been sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. And to the authentic hearer, more will be given. The other side of that is that if you don't take care how you hear, even what you think you have will be taken away. And that's where the warning comes back in as well. We see this throughout the Gospels as well. For example, Matthew 21, 42 through 44. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the Scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits." There's an interesting connection to the parable of the sower and the truly converted. The kingdom will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. This is clearly a call to hear Jesus' teaching in a manner that is authentic. And it will be authentic if, as the light of Jesus' teaching, the light of God's word, exposes you and illumines you, you are found to really have his teaching and not just think you have his teaching. And so it leaves us with the question, have you grasped Jesus' teaching, or do you just think you've grasped it? Well, how do we know? Well, it's interesting. The next few verses make that clear. So let's look at them. Jesus talks about his mothers and brothers in verses 19 through 21. In this episode, Jesus proclaims his super familial, his above the family allegiance to those who authentically hear. That is, to those who hear and respond appropriately to God's word, to his teaching. He suggests that Jesus is closer than a brother or closer than a son to those who are authentic hearers. So here's the situation. You know, presumably they're in a place, and Jesus gives this teaching, this proverb about the light and the lampstand. And presumably they're on the inside of a home because the family's on the outside. So imagine maybe a small one-room home that's just packed with Jesus and his disciples and the followers and the crowds who want to hear his teaching. And outside, his mother and his brothers come. And they desired to see him, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. And so Jesus uses this situation that his mother and brothers are in to teach those who can hear him. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. What is an authentic hearer? An authentic hearer hears the word of God and does it. Now, Jesus is not repudiating his family. He is not disrespecting his family. To do so would be to act contrary to God's word, which he just said, those are the people he's closest to, are the ones who hear God's word and do it. God's word is clear in the Old Testament and the New Testament that we are supposed to love and respect and cherish our family. Ephesians 6, 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 5, 25, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Proverbs 6, 20, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Jesus wasn't trying to diss his family in speaking these words, but he wanted to make an emphatic point about authentically hearing God's word, about authentically hearing his own teaching. Those who authentically hear share a bond with Christ that surpasses even the strongest family bonds. Now think about that for a minute. I know there will be some people who come from very difficult families who may struggle with this analogy, but for most, you can think of a child or a spouse or a parent or a brother or sister who you love dearly, who you have the strongest of earthly bonds and connections with. And yet Jesus says to those people who hear God's word and do it, I am even closer to them. We share a bond that is even beyond that. So Luke, in putting this story after the story of the light on the lampstand and the proverb that Jesus uses, brings some clarity to what Jesus is exhorting here. Authentic hearing is more than mental recognition. It's more than intellectual acceptance or agreement. Authentic hearing expresses itself and authenticates itself in action. The famous verses for this come from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. Here it is in the ESV. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. You know, I learned those verses out of the New American Standard Bible. That was the version I grew up with when I was a young kid. And I love how it translates this. Here it is in the ASB. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, the teaching of Christ, the word of God, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. You see, authentic hearers are effectual doers. They hear the word of God and they obey it. So having heard this proverb, this image that Jesus teaches from, and the story of his parents that Jesus, or his mother and his brothers that Jesus uses to communicate this truth about hearing, take care how you hear. What is it to take care how you hear? It's to hear God's word and to do it. Let us look at a couple points of application. In the first place, authentic hearing is coming to faith in Christ Jesus. In the first place, authentic hearing is hearing the teaching of Jesus in the gospel of salvation and responding appropriately. We read in John 3:16 through verse 21, a teaching of Jesus about salvation. Listen to the connections that are made to these passages as Christ teaches about salvation. He says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God." This is his teaching. God loved the world, and he was the creator of the world and the universe and everything that was in it, including humanity. However, humans find themselves in a position whereby they are going to perish. They are going to perish because they have been condemned due to the wicked things that they have done, due to the wicked things that you have done, due to the wicked things that I have done. Nevertheless, God gave his Son that mankind need not perish, but rather have eternal life. And who is that eternal life for? For those who love the Son, for those who come to the light, for those who believe in the Son and believe his teaching of the gospel of salvation. To believe in the Son is to turn from our wicked ways and to trust in that Son and in what that Son has done to save us. The Son lived a perfect life of obedience to God. The Son died a death for the forgiveness of sins. The Son rose from the dead, conquering sin, death, and the devil. Be an authentic hearer of Jesus' teaching of salvation by repenting of your sin and turning to God. If you hear this teaching this morning and do not believe in Jesus Christ, you are showing yourself to be a counterfeit hearer. And you face judgment and eternal punishment. Will you be an authentic hearer and come to the light? Will you be an authentic hearer and come to Jesus Christ? Will you be an authentic hearer and repent of your sins and trust yourself to God through Christ? And will you do it today? Will you even do it right now? You can if that's you in the very seat you're sitting in now in your eternal dialogue. You can pray to God. You can ask him to forgive you for your sins and confess your faith in Jesus Christ and all that he did on your behalf. I would encourage you to do that. Well, that's authentic hearing in the first place, hearing Jesus' message of salvation in the gospel and responding appropriately. But that continues throughout our life. We are demonstrated to be authentic hearers when we respond appropriately to God's word. when we're doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And if that's you, my question for you this morning, or questions, what areas of God's word have you been hearing but not doing? What has the Spirit convicted you of when you hear His word preached, that despite that very conviction of the Holy Spirit, you still choose to walk in disobedience? Even now, as I speak these words, I believe the Holy Spirit convicts us of those things, of those ways in which we're being disobedient. What has God put on your heart to do that you continue to neglect? I remind you of the famous quote by Martin Luther, "We are saved by faith alone, but the faith that saves is never alone. The faith that saves comes with obedience and deeds corresponding to God's word." You give evidence of yourself as an authentic hearer and a true convert through your obedience to Jesus' teaching and to God's word. This starts with the obedience to the teaching of the gospel, but it's demonstrated to be legitimate through growing in godliness, through obedience to God's word throughout our life. So again, I ask you this morning, where are you being disobedient? Have you been prioritizing certain things before and above God? Your work, your family, the pursuit of money, the pursuit of pleasure? Have you been doubting God in difficult circumstances, resulting in worry and anxiety? Have you been doing things on social media, on your phone, on your computers, that you ought not to be doing, that God has convicted you of, that God has spoken clearly about, and you are not disobedient to that conviction? Are there things that you should be doing that you're not doing? Reading your Bible regularly, spending time in prayer, getting into a discipling relationship with other believers? What is it that God, through His Spirit, has spoken to you from His Word? I exhort you this morning, be obedient. I'd like to speak to one last application that will help us transition now into celebrating the Lord's table, and that is in regard to the family of God. See, Jesus in that last episode makes clear that there is a family that, as it were, supersedes even the family ties that bind us biologically, and that's the family of God. And that family of God is for all people who are in union with Christ. All of you who are authentic hearers, who have heard the gospel and responded appropriately by repenting of your sin and putting your faith into Christ, you are true converts and you have a bond with Christ and a bond with other believers that surpasses anything that a genetic connection we could have would. Now, I understand we don't always do this perfectly. We don't always do this well at West London Alliance Church. But I do believe that the family of God is here. And I want to encourage you to be part of that family, to avail yourselves of the family of God so that as you walk through life, being an effectual hearer who's obedient and responding appropriately to God's word, you have people to walk alongside you with that. And particularly if you have no family, or if the family you have is harmful or hurtful, there is a family of God there for you. And in thinking through this, I contacted a couple in the church who are leaders of a life group. That's one of the ways that we connect with each other, is the family of God. And I said, just tell me over the last couple of years what you've walked through together as a life group. Just give me a quick bullet list. Just in the last few years, this life group together has walked through one of their members experiencing chronic pain that was debilitating, walking through infertility, walking through significant anxiety and depression, walking through someone with cancer, walking through the difficulties of aging parents, walking through the difficulties of parenting struggles, walking in accountability and with prayer over besetting sins in their lives. That was under the list significant things, but it goes on. Under the list everyday community things, they help and have helped each other move from one residence to another. They've celebrated at baby showers and bridal showers. They make meals for each other. They run errands for each other. They clean each other's houses. They do yard work and building projects. They lend cars to each other and household items that are needed. They celebrate birthdays and holidays together, and they share meals. They babysit for one another. There's a family of God here. And we would love for you to be connected in that, and we will do everything that we can to help you get connected. And so if you would like help with that or want to talk about that, please contact one of the staff and we will direct you and help you, because it is a beautiful thing. And one of the ways that we identify ourselves as a family here at West London Alliance Church is through the sharing of a family meal. And that's what we're going to do here this morning at the Lord's table. We're going to share a family meal. I would like to ask the worship leaders to come up, and those who are helping serving to come up as well. I'd like you to read with me this passage out of 1 Corinthians 10, 16, and 17, where Paul speaks about the Lord's table, how he connects it to the fellowship we have as effectual hearers. He says, "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." And so we celebrate this morning together a family meal as one, as those who are in the family of God. Here at West London Alliance, we practice what we call open communion. Open communion means the table is open to everyone who's part of the family of God. Those who are a part of the family of God are those who have repented of their sins and put their faith in Christ. They are his disciples and his followers, and they are our brothers and sisters. And so you don't have to be a member here. You don't have to be a regular here. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, please celebrate this family meal with us. You are family. For those of you who aren't, we would like you to participate in another way. We would ask you to let the emblems pass you by, but we would ask that you would participate really in two ways. First of all, by watching and listening as we celebrate this family meal and celebrate all that Jesus Christ has done for us. But also, would you participate by considering once again this morning of availing yourself of Jesus Christ's work for the forgiveness of sins, for redemption, for reconciliation with God? Now, this morning, I need to go into a bit more detail with instructions because we're doing something a little different. As the emblems are distributed, they will be distributed together. Someone much smarter than I showed me this little trick. When the tray comes along, you will pull out two cups. And in the top cup is your cup, and your wafer is in the bottom cup. All right, so you're going to get them both together. And then once they're distributed, then we'll take them together. So make sure when you grab that cup out of the tray that you grab both. And if you're having trouble sort of organizing it, literally you can drink the bread out of this cup and then put the cup in there and then take the cup that way. So that's how we will celebrate and distribute the emblems this morning. Let us begin with a word of prayer. Good and gracious Heavenly Father, we do not presume to come to this, your table, trusting in our own righteousness, but rather in your abundant and great mercies. We are not worthy even to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the Lord who delights in showing mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, to eat this bread and drink this cup, that our bodies and souls may be made clean by Christ's body and blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him.